KRMG goes in depth.
We're going to spend the next hour looking at those activities, their importance to students, and what local officials are doing to make sure they're meeting students' needs in a safe way. We decided to do this special in-depth hour 1 week ago when the Oklahoma Secondary School Athletic Association, their board, decided not to issue binding guidelines for schools regarding school sports and instead left it largely up to local school districts to decide how to proceed. Joining us live is OSSAA Executive Director David Jackson. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Why, some say that the OSSAA, pardon the pun, punted a very tough decision by taking the vote the way they did, and it was a slim majority. I think 7-6 was the vote. Why did the board's majority vote to leave this all up to local districts?
Well, I certainly can't speak for each individual and how they voted, but what I anticipated in some of the voting on the plan that our staff had put together is the issue of local control and allowing each district to develop their own plan. You know, in certain pockets of the state, some school districts have not been impacted by the virus. What our plan did that our staff put together impacted all of our schools the same, whether you had had cases of the virus or not. And we did so. We wrote it that way, not only to keep our kids, doing everything we can to keep our kids healthy and safe, but when you govern competitive activities, then we also have to account for the competitive equity that goes with keeping kids healthy.
David, can we hold right there for a second, because I'm not clear, and I don't think others are either. What do you mean by maintaining competitive equity in this decision? How would that have been affected?
Well, by having a set of policies for everyone, then one school district, for instance, wouldn't be able to go practice while another is locked down because they've had several cases of the virus and their community has chosen to lock down. Our plan treated everyone the same. Everyone's going to be doing exactly the same thing. With it left to each individual district, and we get that local communities wanted that autonomy. But we felt like in writing that plan, if you left that to local districts to decide, you know, how to manage their activities, then some are going to be doing things that might give them an advantage once our activities started in the fall that another community couldn't do because of the impact of the virus in their community.
Okay.
So that
makes sense. You did decide, OSSAA did decide then later to go ahead and just release the guidelines that you had been working up so that the local officials could look at that, I guess, what is a framework? Is that why you decided to release those?
Absolutely. You know, because we still, even though our plan was not approved, we still want to provide all the information we can to our districts as they develop their own plans, because the goal of it all is to keep our kids healthy and safe so that we can hopefully have a fall coming up soon. We designed this so that we can keep our kids as safe as possible, that we can start school in the fall in person, and that we could have our fall activities. I'll tell you, this staff, in having to cancel state basketball last spring, and to shut down spring activities, that was the hardest thing we've ever had to do. So we're motivated to never have to do that again, not to have to tell students that you can't play in your state tournament or you can't have your activities. So that was probably the guiding force behind developing our plan, is to do all we can to keep our kids safe so that we can have those things in the fall.
You know, this is a good place, I think, to ask this, because we have heard from some folks saying, just cancel it. There's too much risk in extracurricular sports or in band. Just cancel it. But these things away from the classroom are critically important to students, aren't they?
They are absolutely important to students, and I would tell you, at this level, they're probably more important than any other level of competition. We extracurricular activities is appropriately dubbed the other half of education, because not only do students enjoy them in playing, but there's just so much to be learned and gained by participating, and not just in the games, but in practice, in preparation, and being forced to maintain a standard of academic success, of a standard of appropriate behavior. There's just so much, you know, we could spend a great amount of time talking about all the things gained from participating in extracurricular activities. And again, I'm not talking about scholarships that the great athletes are going to gain. I'm talking about the David Jacksons of the world, who very mediocre. I can point to so much that I gained in just participating in high school activities that has helped allow me to achieve anything I've achieved.
David, I don't know if you know much about me, but I am a huge marching band and music education advocate, have been for 40 years, work with Bands of America and Drum Corps International and Music for All. And it's the same thing in the music education world, as you well know. And my kids, neither one of them picked up an instrument, neither one of them have any musical inclination at all, but both of them grew up in the theater. And really, whether it's theater, sports, band, orchestra, choir, as long as it's something bigger than the individual and you have to commit to a group, that's where the real life lesson is. And that, to me, is why football and all of the extracurricular sports and music and whatever is so. And a lot of the kids might not even be staying in school if they didn't have that part of their education to hang on to. I want to roll Rick Corey, the play-by-play voice of the Union Redskins football, into this and talk to you. I know, David, you know Rick.
And you, yes. Dan, you make a great point. It's the accountability to your teammates you learn in team sports that is so vital for what you do later on. And, David, I know as we talked about the teams themselves and being close together, and even though you do have some guidelines, it's going to be up to the districts, do you foresee when we get into stadiums next year, if we have a normal season, every other row empty or those kinds of things, so we can have at least some kind of leadership or guidance, if you would, from the state level saying, guys, we do have to at least take these kinds of steps?
Yeah, it's so difficult to, you know, at this point to make that call as to what it will look like. But yes, we are going to try to develop several different plans to meet whatever scenario that we're going to be faced with. You know, if the health experts at the time that we start our fall semester and our activities feel like we still have to maintain a certain level of distancing, whatever the experts are telling us, we want to have a plan ready to meet that, so that even though those activities may not look like they have in the past, we can still have them in some form. So while we can't tell you exactly today what that plan will look like, our staff is looking at several different scenarios to be ready to at least have again some form of activities. And I want to go back and say something that was just mentioned about not only athletic activities but non-athletic activities being so important. You know, we are one of 25 states who are not just an athletic association, but we're an activities association, and we're proud of that. We have about as many students participate in non-athletic activities as we do athletics. Marching band, speech and debate, you know, the instrumental and vocal music, academic bowl. We're proud of that. And as was mentioned, those activities teach those same values that students take with them as the athletic activities do, because as you guys mentioned already, the big part of that is learning how to work collaboratively with other people.
Yeah.
And that's what all our activities, we think, teach.
David, thank you for your time this morning. We have several more guests we want to get to in this 8 o'clock hour. One of my music educator friends said last week, I was talking to him, he said, you know, I'm really not interested in talking about making things safe for students. I'm interested in finding out what's really important to students and making those things safe. That the safety is part of the plan, but we also really have to consider what's important for the students and find a way to make that
Absolutely.
Work. David Jackson, it's been great. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you guys for having me.
David Jackson, Executive Director of the OSSAA. 8:19 on the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter. Thanks to David Jackson, Executive Director of the OSSAA, for being our first guest. Let's drill down even further now with someone who will be in charge of the health and safety of players this fall and this summer as well, in fact. Dan Newman is Union High School's trainer. Dan, welcome to the KRMG Morning News.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
When I asked Matt McCready, who's going to be joining us later, the Fine Arts Director at Union, to join us, his response was, I don't know how much I'm going to be able to tell you, but I can tell you about the process we're going through right now. Is that kind of the case for Union Athletics as well? You're knee-deep in the process?
Yeah, we're knee-deep in the process. You know, so it's such a fluid situation, you know, not just in our little small microcosm of Union Athletics, Union Fine Arts, in our district. But, you know, right now I think we have a pretty good plan, a successful plan, that we can get back to some semblance of athletics safely, you know, safely for our student athletes, safely for our coaches and our staff, and something that, you know, our student athletes, parents, guardians, will feel okay about sending their kids, you know, to us, that, you know, their health and safety is our utmost priority, as well as our staff at Union.
Let me get down to maybe the bottom line question in all of this.
Yeah.
It was just posed by somebody on Open Mic. Denver, if I play this, is he going to be able to hear it? Okay, here we go. This just got this by Open Mic.
How are you going to make 22 football players social distance on the football field and keep from hugging their parents and grandparents after the game?
Yeah, that's kind of the nugget there, isn't it? That's what we're talking about.
All right.
And
so,
what do you
let
think?
Me answer that question. Can I answer that question? So that's such a broad question. The way we're returning to athletics, just like we're trying to return to our normal life, everything is phased out. Right now at Union and across this state, it's strength and conditioning only. So, you know, we're not going to be high-fiving or huddling up, or we're not going to be tackling each other. That won't be happening. But as we progress through these stages and increase that N number, and be able to, you know, add more things and do more things based on OSSA rules, because as you know, when the guidelines they wanted to put out got voted down, so we're back to those normal summer rules. So there's certain, you know, there's certain rules that we have to follow there. So we're not even thinking about football games right now. We have to take care of, you know, what we're doing today. So we have football in August and September. And it's like that for us. It's like that for the NCAA and for the, and professional sports. You got to do it right in the beginning, because otherwise we're going to be back to, you know, square one.
Well, what are you doing in the strength and conditioning room then?
I think there's been a lot of good information put out there. Our organization, the National Athletic Trainers Organization, the NSCA, which is kind of the gold standard for strength and conditioning coaches across the country, it's a phased-in approach, too. I mean, most of our guys haven't done anything, you know, since March. So it's going to be like a reintroduction, you know, a lot of body movement, body weight. You know, we're just not going to go throw 500 pounds on the squat rack and start squatting. Yeah. So it's going to be a reintroduction.
Are players wearing masks? Are they? What are you doing about sanitizing equipment?
We envision we're going to follow all, you know, the guidelines, social distancing when possible, you know, face coverings when possible. I mean, we're going to take all those precautions. So, and you have to work within those confines too. So, and we may not be able to squat heavy till late phase two, phase three. But in the beginning, it's just more about, hey, let's get our bodies used to, you know, running around again. And but now you have to worry about the heat too and everything. Yeah. So it just exacerbates the situation a little bit more.
Dan Newman is the head trainer for Union High School. I'm Dan Potter with Rick Corey.
Yeah, that's a great point I was about to bring up, Dan. And I know that it's the athletes' safety and wellness that's the number one priority on your mind. It's why you've gotten where you've gotten with all the national organizations. And having said what you just said, when you can't work out the same, when you haven't been in the same program, how concerned are you about early injuries because players are just not going to be where they normally are this time of year?
Rick, you're right on. Me and my colleagues, we're thinking our injury rates will probably increase this year. Just because of the inactivity we've had, you know, guys are probably doing stuff on their own, but you've been around athletics enough. It's just not the same. And I'm worried about, you know, ankle sprains, more or less soft tissue injuries, that nagging hamstring strain. I'm really worried about dehydration and heat issues. I mean, we've had no conditioning for 3 or 4 months, and now we're getting into the worst part of the year in Oklahoma with heat and humidity. That's going to be a real challenge. So not only are we fighting COVID-19, but we're fighting everything we fight every year, you know, with the normal athletic injuries and stuff. So we'll be a little bit more alerted. I told our team physician, Dr. Rahal, I said, you better keep your schedule pretty open this fall because it can get pretty funky. So.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, fall is just a big question mark in so many ways. Now, it's hard to push past the next couple of weeks in terms of what we expect. But, Dan, I appreciate you attempting to do that for us, and we wish you luck this summer and fall.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
Dan Newman, head trainer at Union High School. We have much more to come, including Owosso football coach Bill Blankenship and Union Fine Arts Director Dr. Matt McCready in the next half hour. It's the KRMG Morning News 8 a.m. in-depth hour. Our top story on the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter. We're deep in talks about what football and marching bands are going to look like this fall and what practices and camps will be like over the summer. We're going to really drill down on football now with the head coach of the Oklahoma 6A1 state champion Owosso Rams, Bill Blankenship. Bill, welcome to the KRMG Morning News.
Well, good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing very, very well, and I would be a fool to talk football really deep with Bill Blankenship without just kind of turning the reins over to Rick Corey, and I'm going to do that. I'll sit back and I'll jump in when I have something, but Rick, it's yours.
Well, Bill, I just want to ask, same thing we just asked Dan Newman, and I know you and Dan have been friends for 1,000 years. How concerned are you about getting kids back into the process? Let's do this first. As far as injuries and just team play and those kinds of things when they've been off for so doggone long?
Well, let me just twist that around a little bit, Rick. I think the concern starts with we've got to do a good job as coaches to understand that we're not where we were, you know, 8, 9, 10 weeks ago. So, yeah, absolutely, let's focus on those kids. But that all starts from just an awareness of we're not where we were. And so let's flash back to, you know, thankfully I've been around long enough that we used to actually have an orientation time with our kids of getting in shape and all that stuff when they didn't do much year round. And so, you know, we're going to go back to the future a little bit and really talk to Jordan Johnson, our strength coach. And the whole strength coach community has done a good job nationwide of going, look, man, we need to be really cognizant of the fact that we ease back into this with everybody, not just, you know, not just our top athletes. But there's a lot of folks out there that have been struggling to have a place to go work out.
Sure. Yeah. As you ease back into it initially, what are the rules going to be for OWASO athletes coming in to work out?
Well, generally, it's what the OSSA had proposed. We're going to go in through phasing of coming back early. It will be kind of a voluntary thing. You know, obviously, we want everybody that's comfortable with it. We're going to have a lot of new policies in place and how we take care of the facility. They're going to limit the size of the groups that come into the weight room. Gosh, we're going to have masks at all the time that it's feasible. We're not even going to use our locker rooms in the first phase. So kids are going to come dressed for workouts and then leave. I mean, I think it's some really good process of how you would do this and still maintain you know, as much distancing as we can. There's going to be rules for how many kids can get close enough to one piece of equipment, all that. And the thing that I like is our Tulsa County superintendents and athletic directors got together and essentially came up with a uniform plan so that we could all feel comfortable as we move back into the process of seeing our kids.
And still with all that, Bill, there's going to be a time when kids have to scrimmage, they have to tackle each other, they have to go back into the locker room, they have to do all those things. How far ahead have you looked at how those things will be handled when we get there?
You know, Rick, I've tried not to get too far ahead of ourselves, because the thing I'm going to talk to our players about and the thing I want to keep emphasizing is we don't get to the point of scrimmaging and having football if we don't do this right. And so we've got to really see and take the responsibility of coming into this, learning how to be responsible, learning how to manage in the new normal, so to speak. And I think we're going to have to do a good job all summer to prove that we have the opportunity to move into the kind of contact that you're going to have in football.
And I have to ask this before we.
Yeah, go ahead. Ahead.
Oh, well, I have to ask this before I go ahead. You start, Bill.
I'll stop.
This is why we cannot wait to get back in the studio next week because this just drives us crazy.
Yeah, I got to ask this before we move on, and that is, what do you expect the level of play, how much will it, quote-unquote, suffer or change at the beginning of the season because of all this?
You know, Rick, I think a lot of that is going to be impacted by how far along we get this summer. You know, the fact that we're starting workouts June 8th, you know, reality is that's exactly what we had on our calendar that I submitted to our parents and everybody back in January. So that part, the summer doesn't, if we're able to get going, I don't think we'll be too hindered. The thing you have to keep in mind is we've gotten very used to having, you know, spring practice, 7-on-7 tournaments. And there's a lot of skills that get honed during, you know, from May to August. That's where I think we're really going to see the biggest challenge is, Rick, I don't think our teams are going to be nearly as ready. I don't mean condition-wise and all that, but from a skilled standpoint, we've gotten pretty good about moving fast when we get to August. And I think we're going to go back to the way it used to be, and we're going to have to go pretty dang slow when we get to August, you know, the first day of football practice.
You know, that a friend of mine's fond of saying that the obligation of a champion is innovation and leadership. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like that Owosso is doing that, that you are innovating in a very difficult time. But regarding this state champion year that's just come to an end, it had to be heartbreaking for you, Bill, not to be able to hug those seniors and say goodbye to them in the way that you probably wanted to.
Oh, there's no question. You know, I was in a meeting yesterday or day before with our high school principal, and we got through, and he said something I thought really, really touching, and he was very sincere. Mark Officer was talking about the fact that we're all in this business because we care about kids, and we really do on a daily basis probably take that for granted. And as he was just saying, as the high school principal the last 9 weeks, he said, my job has actually just sucked. He said, I've hated my job because I don't like the work when I'm not getting to be with the kids.
Wow.
And so I thought, you know, that's where a lot of us are. You know, do we want to choke them out sometimes? Do we want to? Yeah, absolutely. But, man, we exist in what we do because we love that relationship part, and to not be able to close that out was brutal. There are all kinds of stories, but you know, we had a great baseball team that was on a roll, and those kids just all of a sudden, it's just done. And there's story after story like that across our country, and I think, you know, I hope 20 years from now that those kids will be telling stories to their kids maybe, and they'll be talking about the crazy 2020 year and what all they had to endure, and I hope it'll make us all better.
Yeah, how did kids make out on scholarships that didn't get to finish their season?
You know, it's been crazy. It really has, because I don't know. I'm not as tied into the spring sports, but it just nipped them in the bud. So the kids that were getting recruited early, I think that was fine. But there are always youngsters that need to show what they can do their senior year. And so I think it's been a hardship on a lot of kids. And you know, there are probably some dreams left unrealized.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, one thing's for sure, Bill, and Dan, he's right. This is going to show everybody in the state what kind of coach everyone is. You have got to be in charge of your program this year more than any other.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the thing that I challenged some coaches with the other day is this time out that we've taken, that we've been forced to take, has been pretty awesome in some ways because it's allowed us to refocus and see what's important. If we go back to work and we're not changed, if we're not different, then this is wasted. Wow. But we have an opportunity, I think, to reset and to do things better than it's ever been done, both at home and, you know, with our families and with the kids that we get entrusted with. So not trying to preach at you, but, man, this is, you know, I just feel more of a sense of urgency to do it right.
What are you hearing from parents, Bill?
Oh, mixed messages. You know, most are really excited to have some form of getting their kids going again. And then there are some scared to death, you know, and that's part of what we get hammered with on a daily basis. And so I think that's, you know, the large percentage of parents that I talk to believe that we have to learn to live with COVID, whatever that means. And that's easy to say, but it's sure scary for a lot of folks, especially, you know, I have family members that are immune compromised, you know, everybody does. And so you're like, how does that impact them while the rest of us are really wanting desperately to get back to work and to get back to doing what we're doing? I mean, you know, it's complicated, man.
We're going to, in just a moment, turn to the marching band world, my area of expertise. But I know you're a big fan of the Pride of Owosso and probably talk to Chris Harris a lot. Do you know, what's happening over there in the band hall?
Well, Chris and I got together about a week or two, a week and a half ago, and produced a little video for our two programs because of that very question you asked earlier, Dan, about our seniors going out. I mean, we just felt like we didn't get a chance to brag on them, to say thank you, to remind them of the great things that both groups that we get to lead had accomplished. And so I'm really lucky here that we have such a great relationship between our band and everybody, but especially Chris Harris and I. And so we kind of enjoy especially, you know, comparing, you know, how the two things enter, not only how we interact, but how common some of the things we have to do in leadership and leading our groups. So anyway, long answer to tell you, I love the band and I love Chris Harris.
Well, I hope we can have as normal a fall as possible, Coach, and good luck to you and to your players.
Thank you, guys. And I think if we'll just be diligent to keep the process going in the right direction, I think we can get there. I really do.
Thanks,
Bill. Coach of the 6A1 state champions, the Owosso Rams, it's Bill Blankenship. It is 8:43 on KRMG, 8 a.m. in depth hour as we talk about COVID-19 and extracurricular stuff this summer and fall. If I would have really planned for this show, I would have gotten some Union Renegade Regiment music to play at the beginning of this segment. Darn it. Got to think about these things, Dan. 8:49, the KRNG Morning News with Dan Potter. It's an 8 a.m. in-depth hour looking at football and band over the summer and fall, the practices, the camps, and then the competitive season. We've covered football pretty extensively. Let's take a look at things in instrumental music with the Director of Fine Arts for the Union School District, Dr. Matthew McCready. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Dan. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
I mean, great. I'm glad to have you here. I'll just warn you, there is about a second delay in what I say and then you hear, so we'll work our way through that. We had a little glitch with that earlier. Matt, band is a summer-long activity in many ways. Most large bands will have a camp in June and then come back in late July, early August for another couple of weeks before the school year begins. What does Union Renegade Regiment's schedule look like right now?
So Charles Pizarro is the director of bands at Union, and he and his team would, by this time of year, have already done some of the camp activities towards the end of the school year. And obviously, with school ending a few months earlier, that didn't happen. And so, you know, we kind of pushed to Plan B and C. And now that we're on plan about Q or R, trying to figure out what the new abnormal is going to be, and you know, what does that consist of, and when does that start? I heard, you know, Bill Blankenship talking earlier just about the fact that we're kind of going to be in a state of going back to the future. And I think there's something that's very valid to that, just in that whatever is going to happen is likely just going to happen later in the summer than most programs in Oklahoma are used to. And it just puts a real emphasis from the staff and the students and the program on what really matters and what really is important, and just to make sure the priorities are in place so that whatever the fall looks like, it can be a success.
Individual instruction, is that what I'm reading between the lines here, that there's going to be a lot of small ensembles and individual instruction for a while?
I think so. A lot of, and I've seen this around the country from just a lot of, you know, my colleagues that, you know, a lot of online instruction already is taking place before a lot of these phases even kick in. You know, some of the visual training, just, you know, body movement, some of the basics that we would normally be doing this time of year, so students have time to, you know, get them internalized. That's already taking place, you know, via YouTube and Zoom and all those different kind of online resources. And so then, yeah, I think the next phase, and I know that phases are kind of the key phrase right now, but you know, the next phase is to, yes, start to introduce small groups. You know, the difficulty really comes with when we're going to be getting back into the face-to-face reality, and that's obviously what everybody's really excited for too, but that's where we need to make sure we have our ducks in a row before that happens.
Well, let's talk about the real problem here. And the real problem is humans breathe. And when humans play musical instruments or when they sing in a choir, they exhale a lot of water vapor. And so really, music educators have a challenge above and beyond the normal classroom and even, to a certain extent, athletics in that there's spit, there's exhalant, there's just all sorts of things that would make an epidemiologist squirm.
You're exactly right. You know, there was a study, I think, a couple weeks that came out about the the singing and the choir, and you know, there's been a number of choirs around the country that had you know, little virus outbreaks because of, like, what you're talking about, just the droplets. And so I know that there's currently studies going on with the wind instruments as well, but the bottom line is, you're exactly right, there's just a certain level of contamination, for lack of a better term, that's going to happen no matter what you do. And, you know, to some degree, that's really what we're trying to figure out. You know, just like Scott Lang said, we need to find what's important for the students and make it safe. And so obviously playing and breathing correctly is so important on so many levels. And so that's what they need to do. So let's figure out how to make it safe. How far away do we really need to be? You know, I think being outside is definitely one huge benefit on the marching band side, no doubt, that is going to be, seems to be, you know, less of an issue than being inside. And so that's obviously one major upside that we're going to be leaning on. And just keeping in mind that, you know, there may not be any rehearsal inside whatsoever, just because there may not be enough space to spread people apart far enough. So outside may really be the classroom.
I'm gonna jump in because we're just about out of time, and I've got to get to the fall. Your fall season involves competition as well, Bands of America, OBA. Do you anticipate travel? Do you think there'll be competitions this fall?
Just me personally, I think there may be competitions. I think travel is going to be the real difficulty, for groups. You know, you imagine like a union band, you know, any of the large band programs in this area are going to normally be on, you know, 6, 7, 8 buses crammed pretty tight. And so if we're going to do any kind of distancing whatsoever, you know, I don't know if financially or logistically, if that's even a possibility to now go to, you know, 16 or 20 buses or something like that. You know, then financially, that's just a obviously a huge hit. So, you know, if there's not large travel involved, I think that, again, in the new abnormal fall, maybe more of a local approach nationwide might be a successful one for this this fall, just to make sure we get something in.
Matt, thank you so much for your insight. We'll see how things unfold over the summer, and hopefully we'll see you real soon. Tell Amy I said hi.
All right, we'll do. Thanks, Dan.
Dr. Matt McCready, the Director of Fine Arts for the Union School District. Rick, there's just, I've said from the beginning of this that the toughest part of all of this is that there is a question mark on everything. There are so few things other than our family's love that we can count on right now that that's the hard part, and it continues, and it's going to continue for the rest of this year, it seems like, at least.
But the rainbow on that cloud is the attitude of the people you just heard from the coaches, the trainers, the directors who are leading these kids, who are putting the emphasis on what they want and how to keep them safe because they care about those kids. I think that's what my takeaway from this whole thing. I think it's just been stinking awesome, the whole thing. Yeah. But those people are the reason this will be okay in the end.